Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. My name is Paul Phillip, Editor-in-Chief of Caribbean American Weekly, The Immigrant's Journal, and Workers' World Today. And I have the pleasure of having two very special guests, Mr. Sean DeFossois, who is the president of DC 37 and Local 372, and Mr. Donald Nesbitt, who is the vice president for DC 37 and Local 372. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you here with us today.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your union, DC 37.
Well, first of all, you know, we deal with, DC 37 as a whole, deal with all municipalities of unions, of workers, city workers as a whole. We run the city, to tell you the truth. Without DC 37 members, this city wouldn't run. It couldn't operate. We work from everywhere from the police departments to the sanitation to MTA to libraries. I mean, you name it all, we do everything that is need to be done for the city to operate. And so that's far as DC 37. But as you know, also we have a locals, which is about 55 locals under DC 37. And the one that I'm the president of and Donald is the vice president of, executive vice president of, is Local 272. We dominate primarily the DOE and NYPD as far as crossing guards. We deal with kitchen workers, cafeteria workers. We deal with SAPAS workers. We deal with community titles. We deal with paraprofessionals. We deal with all types of titles, school aides, and everybody. I mean, runs that school. Without the foundation of those people in that school, teachers' workers are important, administrative workers are important, but without that, the foundation would crumble. You'll need our support services in those schools in order to run that school system.
Yeah, as President Francois just said, the members that we serve in Local 372 provide, I know during the pandemic, they call them essential. We were essential prior to COVID-19. We provided that foundation for the school. So when you think of a SAPIS counselor, that's one of the titles that we represent. SAPIS counselors provide counseling for families in prevention of students going down a path of taking drugs or things of that nature. And even if they get on drugs, the SAPIS counselor guides them and maneuvers them and their family away from it. Such a vital service, and it's going to be definitely essential after COVID because families have been torn apart and ravished, and so children are going to be going in every direction. And it's going to take our people who, let me point out, live in the communities that they work, which is so important because a lot of times we actually have bonds and went to school with several different family members. And that's key in the development of that child.
Very good. Now, you mentioned the pandemic, and obviously, you know, now your members have been called essential workers. But Mr. Fossois, as you said, you'll run the city and you'll have been doing that pre-pandemic. We are in a pandemic, and what are your concerns for your members, especially since the mayor has said that the city is looking to open it up on by July the 1st?
Well, let me say this, first of all. I think right now it's still too preliminary to open up this city, especially with these schools. They're not ready yet. I know they want to get back to normalcy. I know they want things to be back to the way that things used to be, but let me tell you, it'll never be that way again. We're going to have to accept the new norm. And to rush into it without the safety measures, I think is unacceptable. We have to make sure safety comes first regardless, because all you're going to do is, like you did before, is open those schools up again, open the city again, just to close it back again, because you're not ready to do that. Right now, out of all municipality city workers, only about 34% right now, the last time I checked, was vaccinated. That is not good human behavior. We have to have human behavior if we're going to move forward in this city of New York. Without that, it's not going to work. So I don't think they're ready for it right now. They need to do more homework and stop rushing to be unsafe in the city of New York.
So how can your union and the city work together to get those workers vaccinated to move forward with getting back to the new normal?
Well, it's outreach. I mean, social media is a good platform. Just getting the word out there. Let them know that, listen, like me, first of all, I was very skeptical myself. I was very skeptical about getting a shot because I know that it wasn't approved, first of all. And I know that without the approval list, you cannot sue if something happens. I know they got compensation, workers' compensation involved, legislature involved with the workers' comp as far as that's concerned. But right now, if it's not approved, what are you going to do if something happens to you? So yes, I was skeptical about it, but I'm a labor leader. I cannot promote other people and encourage people to do it without me doing it myself. I'll be a hypocrite, and that's not who I am. So for me to promote that, I have to take it myself and take the shot. The thing about it is, and you cannot win anything unless you take the shot.
So you led by example.
Absolutely.
So talking about the workers, let's talk about workers' rights, you know, your membership and their rights moving forward, and how the union is protecting them and how important it is to be part of a union.
Well, first of all, that's what collective bargaining structure comes from. That's where we got contractual language come from. We make sure that management do their part. We're making sure that workers are corrected, you know, with respect, the dignity of their work, and then make sure that they're not being mishandled by management. And that's what unions are all about. A lot of times you get these jobs, a lot of times management feels that their workers are what you call expendable. And that makes them feel that they're on pins and needles every day they're working, not only going to have a job tomorrow, not only have children and family at home to feed. And that's not a good way to work. So the workers' rights to have them to feel comfortable in the job sector they work at each and every day, to know that they have a job, to feed their family, and to live society in life, a better life in society. So yeah, so we as a union, we advocate workers' rights to make sure that all the benefits they need is there in place for them, and we make sure that we advocate and we move forward to make sure that our workers get what they need to make them whole.
Mr. Nesbitt? Yeah.
And just to add to that, you look at during the pandemic, some of the that we've done. You look at the workers who were put on the front line and named essential in the beginning, but the city provided no PPE for them. We had cases where members brought their own PPE and management had told them they couldn't wear it. And so we, as a union, we jumped in and said, no, they're going to wear it. They're going to be protected. Mm-hmm. And as leaders, we even went out and bought 40,000 masks ourselves to get out to our school crossing guards, our lunchroom workers, and we got it out there. But we didn't stop there. We said to management at that point, same way you order hair nets for safety, the same way you order bleach, the same way you order everything, this is the new norm, and you need to order consistently that way. And that's where the DOE came up with the plan to have a month's supply within the building. Mm-hmm. It was because of the push from us. Every day we were sending emails, you need to protect workers. Even when they pushed back and said, well, we bought 100,000 pieces, we said, if you divide that by 700 locations, it's done by next week. You have to continue to order. Mm-hmm. And so we continue to be that protection for the workers. And that's some of the ways that we're going to continue to protect them and make sure, because COVID is not going anywhere. That's the reality. The vaccination being here is great, but at the same time, COVID isn't going anywhere. We see new strands every day. And so we have to continue to protect them and make sure that not only we are encouraging taking a vaccine, but we're also making sure that management is making sure that they're safe in the workplace, that ventilation is working, that windows are able to open so fresh air can flow in, all of those kind of things.
And that leads me to my next question. I was going to say, how does the union, look at the new normal moving forward? What it is you would like to see done that is not being done so that we can continue to function, as a society?
So constant inspection of those workplaces. What we saw from COVID was immediately people were coming down with the virus, the infection, immediately last March because of poor ventilation within these workplaces, because of no one inspecting systems. The push for one of the sections within the school that we see now where we're pushing the city council and the mayor's office to make sure that we change ventilation is in school cafeterias. You have kitchen workers in conditions where it's extremely hot and the ventilation is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when they expected for schools to open, we push back as a union and said, well, schools can't open September 10th and we're not going to strike, but we'll sue you if need be, because our people are in conditions where you haven't done full inspections And we have to make sure that safety is first before we talk about any return.
Absolutely. If I could piggyback on that, because a lot of times they do walkthroughs. But guess what they're doing? Because I've been with them on one of these walkthroughs. They will walk through a building that's already in place or a building that's already, the principal already has it structured. So you want to do a walkthrough through that one building. But you're dealing with a lot of buildings in the Faubourg. You just can't assess one building to say this building's okay. That's the way it's going to look for all the buildings. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to do a walkthrough to every building because every building is different. They're built different. They're structured different. They have different ways of operations. So no, doing a walkthrough is good. But not just one or two buildings. You got to walk through the whole five boroughs and the system to see what's going on. And that's the problem today. That is why they're not ready, because they're only working through certain areas. They're not getting a full aspect of what's going on. So the remedy is not working, because you have to have a full assessment to what's going on in the city if you want to make change and make it better for the people working in the city.
Because one size doesn't fit all.
Absolutely.
If I may suggest, moving forward, the city should also come up with plans in place for emergencies like COVID. What we saw was there was no plan in place, right? So if I don't know what it looks like building a committee with the city and labor at the table that represents the workers, even the non-union workspaces, because what we saw, a lot of those essential workers were low-paid supermarket workers who weren't protected by union. We have to, if we're going to protect the city, we have to look at it from a holistic view. And so maybe that's a committee that comes up with a plan on what to do in an emergency, but I think you have to take everyone's perspective into view.
So, gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for coming here and sharing information about your union and workers' rights and what's been happening. And just share some information about your union in terms of if somebody wants to go and read up, you know, get some more information.
Well, first of all, I'll let Donald piggyback on that. We do newsletters. Every quarterly throughout the year. But we will do a newsletter. If something big comes up, like the ERI, the early retirement system came up, we're going to do a newsletter about that so the people know what's going on. When the no layoffs clause came up, we did a newsletter about that so people know what's going on. We also have a website that people can go to on a regular basis that they can look at and get information. We always update our website on a daily basis, 3-4 times a day. Social media is a good platform to also get the word out as well and news out as well. In our fashion too. So there's a lot of different avenues that we go to get the word out. And not only that, robocalls we do, and then also regular emailing we do, and also regular home mailing that we get the word out as well. So we have different platforms that we're able to reach our members to get the word out. And we have what you call union representatives out there that goes around the five boroughs to make sure they get information out there. We have what you call district meetings in the districts, so they get information out there in the district, not just general membership meetings. We have there's all different types of ways to reach out to the members for them to get the knowledge, and anything new that's going on, anything that's pertinent, that's current, that's going on, we get it out there to for them to know.
And the website is?
Yeah, the website. So there's two websites because we spoke of two things today. Mm-hmm. DC37 is dc37.net, and then for Local 372 is local372.org.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
People Power and Politics, Hard Talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.